And we come before you because you are a great and a mighty and a wonderful God. You are the only true God. Lord, you are our creator, our sustainer, our redeemer. And Lord, we praise you for all this. Lord, especially during this Thanksgiving season, Lord, as our hearts are tuned more toward the blessings in our lives, God, help us, no matter what we've been going through, no matter how we came into this place feeling this morning, help us to be able to look to you, to be grateful, to be thankful for who you are, for what you've done in each of our lives, what you want to do in the days ahead as we follow you and seek you. So, Lord, as we continue worshiping, as we look into your word together, God, I pray that you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts to these words, to your words written to us. Lord, encourage us, challenge us, rebuke us, whatever we need. But Lord, we want to hear from you, and we want to leave this place differently after encountering you this morning, after being encouraged, after being exhorted to live for you in the days ahead. Lord, we pray all these things in the wonderful, the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. If you could have any superpower, what would it be? Has anyone ever asked you that question before? It's kind of a common icebreaker for small groups or, for kind of a discussion starter. I even kind of seem to remember, I think in middle school, having to write a short essay over this topic. And it's kind of an interesting question because it gives someone the opportunity to explain not only what they would pick, but why. It's always interesting to hear people's responses. And you can probably imagine some of the more common ones to this answer. Superpowers such as the ability to fly or to read other people's minds. Maybe to have some sort of supernatural healing. Hey, that would have been real helpful like a year and a half ago, right? Some of these faith healers and people, that would have been great if they could have helped us out last year. But, some people, they want to become invisible. They want to have superhuman strength. All sorts of answers to this question. What would you do, or what would you pick if you could have any superpower? And, while the question is intended to be lighthearted and fun, I never really liked that question. Because for me, it was always really hard to answer. Not because there's so many cool superpowers that's hard for me to pick the best one. But for whatever reason, this question would, when I was thinking about, well, what ability do I lack and what do I wish I could do? What do I wish I had? This question always reminded me of the several areas of my life that I wish I could change. See, I was never the best academically in school. I never really excelled at any sport that I tried out at. While I do like music and can kind of play a few instruments, I could find numerous people who were far more superior than I was. I mean, I was never real good at thinking on my feet or giving a good spontaneous answer. I mean, several things would flood through my mind, several areas that I wish I could change. And so, I really didn't spend a whole lot of time thinking, well, what would I do if I could fly or if I could heal or if I could, I didn't really think about those things. I just wanted to feel like I could be as good as everyone else. I just wished I could do at least one thing well. Hey, I don't know, maybe you felt like that before. Maybe you think about your weaknesses and maybe you think they overshadow any potential strengths that you have. Maybe when you compare yourself to other people, you feel like you always come up short. Maybe you've convinced yourself that your limitations will never allow you to be able to contribute as much as other people. Maybe you even think God couldn't use a person like you because of all your problems, all your brokenness, all of your weaknesses. But hey, if that's you, I hope that by the time we leave this morning, and I hope that you can learn from God's word how to view your weaknesses differently. I hope you can learn to view them the way that God does and the way that God wants us to view these weaknesses. I realize this Thanksgiving is coming up and, it's just with all the events that have happened over the last, 18 months or so, I realize it can be really difficult for you to maybe want to feel grateful this time of year. If there were things that's gone on with all these things in the back of your mind, with all the difficulties you've gone through, and now especially to think about your weaknesses, your limitations, that might be the last thing that you want to do this morning. But, you know, I hope we'll see by the time we're done that sometimes what you perceive to be a weakness, God can actually make it a strength. You know, these last few weeks, we've been looking at a couple different passages in the book of 2 Corinthians. And in this very personal letter, we've seen how the Apostle Paul, he was grateful for sorrow, for difficulties, and for the pain in his life. Because even during all these hardships, Paul knew that God could provide comfort and strength, and that God can work in us and through us, sometimes in ways not possible had we not gone through the pain. And so as we conclude this series today, Paul's going to challenge us here in this last passage to reevaluate the way that we look at our weaknesses. You know, that's one thing I think is common to all of us, right? Every celebrity, every famous person, everyone you see, they have weaknesses, they have problems just like you. Some are better at hiding it than others, but deep down, all of us have things we would change, have things we don't like about ourselves. But again, rather than focusing on these things, rather than dwelling on our deficiencies or our limitations, Paul's going to show us that God can still do great things in your life, and not in spite of, but rather through your areas of weakness. So in 2 Corinthians 12 is where we'll be this morning. I'm going to start reading there in verse 1. Follow along with me as we read down through verse 10. Paul, as he's writing to the Corinthian church, he says this. Verse 1, I must go on boasting. Although there was nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. This man was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except for my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassing great revelations. Therefore, he says, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Hey, so you might have noticed when Paul says, I must go on boasting, you might have realized that we're kind of jumping into the middle of a conversation here. And it's because we are. Back in chapter 11, Paul begins laying out this case to the Corinthians that he is indeed an apostle, that he is the real deal, and that they should listen to his words, to his teachings. And it's unfortunate that Paul even has to go there and to say this, because Paul started this church in Corinth on his second missionary journey, and the Corinthians, they should have known better. Paul was there for 18 months sharing the gospel, discipling, starting the church, all these things. The Corinthians got an up close and personal view of Paul. They knew who he was. They could see that he was the real deal. However, within a few years of Paul leaving that city to go on to other places, these false teachers had started to creep in to the church. And, as false teachers do, they began planting doubts in people's minds. Specifically, doubts about Paul. Well, you know, can you really trust his teachings? Hey, were his motives really that pure when he came and was speaking to you? Was he really just trying to get a following? Was he really just hoping to get your money? All of these things, these doubts, these suspicions started floating around the church. And so by the time Paul writes this letter, he finds it necessary to defend his apostleship and also to show that those who have infiltrated the church, those are actually the false teachers. And so kind of in relation to these verses, one of the things that these false teachers did is they would go on and on about their accomplishments, their achievements, almost as if to say, well, hey, all of these things prove that, you know, God's blessing is on me. All these things prove the validity of our message, right? Look at all the things that we have done, and then look at this guy, Paul, beaten, thrown in prison, stoned, left for dead. How could God use a bum like that? And so starting back in chapter 11, Paul says, okay, hey, listen, if y'all want impressive credentials, if y'all want to hear some great stories, Paul says, I'm the one who could upstage all of these guys. But in a surprising twist, at the end of chapter 11, Paul actually says, but you know, if I am going to boast, he says, rather, I'm going to boast about the things that show my weakness. You might think, well, Paul, why in the world would you do that? How is that going to help your case? These guys, these, you know, successful men, these people are coming in and talking about how great they are. Why would you talk about the things that would really be an embarrassment to you? How could that help your case whatsoever? Well, like I said earlier, Paul does this because he wants to challenge our view of weaknesses. Paul wants us to challenge the way that we see difficulties in our life. And the way that he does so is, again, by going through this vision and talking about this accompanying thorn in the flesh. And so Paul says, hey, if I'm going to boast about anything, if I want to make anyone's name known, if I want to build up anyone, well, it's going to be God. And I'm going to do so by talking about my pain, my weaknesses, my difficulties, what their purpose is, and how they have changed me. And so if you're taking notes this morning, Paul gives us teaches us a few things about how we should view the weaknesses, the problems, the difficulties in our lives. And the first one is this. Paul shows us here in these verses that, first of all, weaknesses aren't always the result of sin. You know, life is hard, and sometimes it can actually become more difficult when you're taking a stand for God. You know, when you begin living the way that God says is best, you're going to be living in a way that regularly puts you at odds with the culture around you, the people you encounter, the people that you see on a daily basis. And so things like taking a stand for what is right, things like fighting for those who can't fight for themselves, striving to live with a kingdom mindset, these types of things will set you apart from the crowd. These things will make you stand out. And in some cases, oftentimes cases with Paul, these things can actually make you a target by other people. Right? If others are uncomfortable with your presence, or if they're intimidated by you because you're trying to live for the Lord and you're kind of trying to shake up the way things are, well, then again, sometimes that can almost seem to invite more problems into your life. But we need to notice something. Just because someone is facing difficulties, just because someone is experiencing a tough time, that doesn't necessarily mean it's because of something that they've done wrong. In fact, sometimes problems and weaknesses and difficulties, sometimes these things can come about because you're doing everything right. Just like Paul, just like this thorn that he discusses here in these verses. You know, in this case, Paul's thorn, this was something that was given him, that was used to keep him humble after he was caught up to heaven, after he had heard and seen things so spectacular that he wasn't even able to express them. And none of us know what this thorn was. Almost everything that you could imagine has been put forward, has been suggested at one point, though. Some people said, well, maybe it was some sort of a health issue. So people have said, well, maybe it was eyesight, or maybe it was migraine headaches. I remember reading an article that, like, I was sure Paul had migraines. That was his thorn in the flesh. Some people say, well, maybe it was some sort of depression or anxiety, or again, some sort of thing affecting his physical health. Some people said, well, maybe it's some sort of a demonic attack. Maybe it's some sort of, you know, really intense spiritual warfare. Others have thought, well, no, maybe it was a person, or maybe it was a group of people who were against him, who were battling him, just someone that he didn't get along with. I heard someone say once, kind of jokingly, I'm sure, they said, hey, maybe Paul's thorn in his flesh was his mother-in-law. Now, I didn't say that, but hey, could be. Right? We don't know what this problem was. We don't know what this distressing issue was that Paul faced. But, you know, by leaving it ambiguous, by not even giving us a hint at what this possibly could be, you know, I think Paul actually does us a favor, don't you think? You know, if Paul would have said, my problem is this, I'm pretty sure everyone who didn't have that problem would say, well, that's too bad, Paul. Hey, but what about me? Here's what I'm going through. How could this help me? Right, but by not telling us, you know, all of us have problems and difficulties, weaknesses, things that we are exposed to. But because the problems are common to all, we see here that the solution, that the answer that Paul receives, this is also common to all as well. And so sometimes we do suffer because of bad decisions or because of sin in our lives or things like that. But other times, like in Paul's case, we can be suffering. We can be going through a difficult time. And all this can happen so that God can do something great in our lives. Hey, you know, there's a great story in John chapter 9. It's kind of a long story, so I encourage you maybe go back and read it. It's one of my favorites in John's gospel. But in John 9, Jesus and the disciples, as they're traveling one day, they come upon a man who was blind. And the text tells us he's been blind pretty much his whole life. And so when the disciples see this man, they say, hey, Jesus, who sinned and made this man blind? Like, hey, you know everything. You're a good teacher. Tell us the truth, right? We want to know, did this man sin? Did his parents sin? Whose fault is it that he's blind? What sin was it that caused this ailment in his life? And you know what Jesus says? Well, if you don't, it's there on the screen. But Jesus says, listen, no one sinned and made this man blind. It's not him. It's not his parents. He says, no, I don't think you guys understand. Now look what Jesus says. He says, this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in this man's life. And again, it's kind of a long chapter, but if you continue reading the duration of it, you see that this man was healed. Jesus did restore this man's sight. And this man did go on to proclaim the glories of God to anyone and to everyone who would listen to him. It's actually kind of funny because the Pharisees are like, well, hey, what happened? Who healed you? How did this happen? He's like, hey, man, I don't know. I couldn't see it, remember? But all I know is that Jesus healed me. Right? Jesus did something amazing. And I believe that was the message that he proclaimed for the rest of his life. You know, we sing the great hymn, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. This man, that was his message. Hey, I was blind, literally. But then Jesus came into my life. Jesus did something through this difficulty, and it changed me forever. You know, all of us have things that we wish we would change, difficulties that we wish would go away, thorns in our flesh that we've tried to get rid of, but for whatever reason, they just don't seem to disappear. And we can read a story like that in John 9 and think, oh, that's awesome. Praise God. All right, he's a mighty healer, and yeah, awesome. But what happens when the problem persists? Right, what happens when the prayer isn't answered the way that you had hoped? What happens when the thorn doesn't go away? When you cry out to God, and when it doesn't seem like anything is happening? When it seems like the pain just keeps persisting day after day? But what then? Well, Paul tells us how we're to make sense of a situation like that. Number two, he tells us that weaknesses are opportunities for God's grace to shine through in our lives. Whatever this thorn was, Paul knew that it wasn't any sort of discipline for a sin issue in his life or something along those lines. And because this thorn was so severe, Paul prayed multiple times for Jesus to remove this thing from him. So let me ask you, did Jesus answer Paul's prayer? Yeah, he did. You may be like, he still has the thorn, remember? I know. But Jesus still gave him an answer. It wasn't the answer maybe necessarily that he wanted, but it was an answer nonetheless. And it was an answer that actually was in Paul's best interest. Because what Paul was asking for, unbeknownst to him, Lord, take this this thorn away from me, that actually wasn't what was best for him. Strange as it sounds, that's not the answer that he got. But the answer that he did receive, what Jesus says there in verse 9 to him, this answer, it changed Paul's outlook on life, on suffering, and I think changed his outlook on God to an extent as well. Moreover, this great response in verse 9, where Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. And this has been a great source of comfort not only to Paul in the duration of his life, but for millions of Christians ever since. This is such a well-known verse, such a powerful verse, and a verse that so many Christians have personally experienced. God's grace is sufficient for you. Even if the problem is never fixed, even if the pain endures, even if this is a struggle every day of your life, God's grace can get you through. And that's because, like Paul tells us, it's because in weakness, in the times where your limitations are the most apparent, where it's the most obvious that you can't fix this on your own, he says it's those situations where God's power is the most active. Right, you see, it's in those times where you and others around you can see that it's God's power and that it's God's grace which is sustaining you day by day. Hey, I don't know if you've ever heard of a woman named Fanny Crosby. She's one of the most prolific hymn writers, really, in all of history. In addition to writing literally over 9,000 hymns, many of which are still sung today, some of which are actually some of my favorite hymns of all time. In addition to writing hymns, she wrote poetry. She played several musical instruments, the guitar, the piano, the harp, very musically talented. She collaborated with several other musicians. Typically, she would supply the lyrics to the tunes that other musicians had written. And just a phenomenal, godly person. And it was particularly because of these reasons that she became so well known in her day. She spoke to the Congress. She befriended several presidents throughout her life. She was really well-known, really influential in the 1800s, early 1900s. But what a lot of people find most amazing about Fanny Crosby is that she was able to accomplish all these things. She was able to leave such an amazing legacy despite going blind when she was only 2 months old. There was a doctor in town, and a man impersonating a doctor. Her parents went and said, "Hey, our daughter is sick. She has this ailment." This fake doctor said, "Oh, I got the cure right here." Gave him a prescription, and they applied it. And unfortunately, this prescription made her go blind. And by the time the family realized what had happened, the man had long since left town. And when consulting with real doctors, they told the family, "I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. This is a permanent disability." A few years later, Fanny Crosby's father died. So she was raised by her grandmother, as her mother was now working and trying to support the family. But what's so amazing, Fanny Crosby, she wasn't going to be bitter about this decision. She decided early on that, hey, I can choose to be mad and angry, or I can choose to lean into God, to His grace, to His strength, to help me accomplish what He wants to do in my life. She once said this, I find this so amazing. She has tons of great quotes, by the way. But one time, speaking about this, she said, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank Him for the dispensation." Listen to this. She says, "If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it, because I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and by the interesting things around me." Man, Fanny Crosby, she learned the secret to thriving despite weaknesses, and that is to rely on God's grace alone. Look again, she says, "I'm glad, I'm thankful that God has allowed this to happen to me." She's thankful for being blind her entire life, because she said, "I realize how God has used this, and I realize, just like Paul says, that it's in my weakness, that's actually when I'm strong. That's actually when God comes through and does something so amazing only He could do it." This is the perspective Paul had about his suffering and about his weakness. And listen, when you and I, when we begin to view our weaknesses and the things that we don't like about ourselves and the challenges that we face, when we begin to view things this same way, that's when we can also begin to experience God's sufficient grace. That's how we too, as strange as it might sound, that's how we can also be thankful even if the thorn is never taken away from our lives. And when we look to ourselves, when we look to our own strength, we're actually living in weakness. But when we acknowledge our weaknesses, when we turn to God, that's actually when we're strong. And that's because, number three, weaknesses give way to God's strength. Hey, look in verse 9. What could make Paul want to boast about his weaknesses? Why would he, verse 10, why would he delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties? Why in the world would he say, why would he believe such a thing? Well, it's because when he is weak, God makes him strong. God's power finds its fullest demonstration in our human weaknesses. And it's when we acknowledge our inability, that's when God comes through. That's when God takes what little that we have. And that's when God transforms it into something amazing. Right? That's why we talk about the feeding of the 5,000, right? It's not because when the people were hungry, this little boy pulled up with a food truck and with a whole set of caterers and, you know, said, "Hey guys, more food is on the way." No, that's not what happened. The reason we talk about the feeding of the 5,000 is because when everyone looked around and saw just the dirt in their hands, and they said, "Oh, hey, this little boy over here, he's got a biscuit and a fish. I don't know what we could do with that." God said, "Hey, this is exactly what I need." All right, Jesus said, "Hey, give me that fish, give me that little bread, and let me show you something. When you're weak, and when you look to me, that's actually when you're strong. You see, it's not our strength in difficult situations that makes people look and say, wow, man, you just did something amazing. How did you do that? No, rather, it's in our weaknesses. But yet when God works through us and does something amazing, that's when people look at us and say, wow, what an amazing God you serve who could do something like that. And you say, yeah, I know. There's no way this could have been of me. Hey, let me ask you, do you believe that God could do something amazing in your life through your pain, through your weaknesses? You know, we read stories about it. Paul talks about it here. We see examples of people in history, great Christians, great people of the faith. But do you think God could actually do something like that in your life today? I think he could. When God's grace is sustaining you, when God's strength is empowering you, great things can happen in your life and in the lives of others. You know, that was Paul's story, and that can be your story also. Hey, think about this. You know, it's one thing for Paul to sit here and talk about God's grace and God's strength and the Lord will provide, and, you know, talk is cheap. But it's a whole different thing to realize that Paul was saying all of this in chapter 12. He was speaking all this from personal experience. Because as we read earlier, this visit to heaven took place 14 years before he wrote this letter. And it's believed that this thorn in the flesh came a short while after this trip to heaven. And therefore, for well over a decade, Paul had, yes, been daily battling this thorn in the flesh. But it also means for more than a decade, he had daily been experiencing the strength and the grace necessary to continue serving God. Isn't that a remarkable thought? You know, our weaknesses need not be a barrier to following God. And the proof is really all that we know about Paul from the New Testament. Hey, I won't walk you through a real detailed timeline of Paul's life. But 14 years before he wrote 1 Corinthians would have certainly been before his first missionary journey. It probably would have happened somewhere very shortly in his life after he became a Christian. And so this means that Paul was battling this thorn in the flesh, this severe enemy, whatever, a physical ailment, a person, whatever it was. That means Paul was battling this every single day while he was preaching and establishing churches in the book of Acts. Paul was battling this thorn when he went to the Jerusalem Council. Paul was battling this thorn as he was writing each and every single New Testament letter that he did. Paul was battling this thorn before, during, and after every single one of his missionary journeys. You know, I think sometimes we get the idea that Paul, man, you know, he had it made. He was a super Christian, and, you know, he could, just this amazing person. And yeah, God did work through him, but that's because God was working through his weaknesses. Everything we read about Paul's life after he becomes a Christian, everything we read in the New Testament is occurring while Paul is battling this thorn in the flesh. And so when Paul sits here and when he says, hey, God's grace is sufficient, and his strength will get you through, and, you know, all these things, that's not a hypothetical. This is pretty much the story of Paul's Christian life. You know, that's why he could write in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Because it's only God who could enable someone with this much brokenness, with this much weakness, with this much pain in life, it's only God who could still use an individual like Paul to accomplish so much for his kingdom. You know, like I said, all of us have a thorn in the flesh. And if God can do something amazing in Paul's life, what do you think he can do in yours if you're fully surrendered to him. You know, God has the power either to eliminate the weakness, to cure the blindness in John 9, but God also has the power to sustain you and the grace that'll help you live every day, like Fanny Crosby experienced. And so, whatever God chooses is what's best for you. And so let me just ask, what areas of your life do you need to admit your weaknesses and rely on God's grace rather than trusting in yourself? You know, Paul said, hey, when I'm at my weakest, when I'm at my most vulnerable, he says, that's actually when I'm the strongest. Because it's in those times where Paul most fully recognizes his need for help and the source of where his strength comes from. You know, weaknesses, that's the occasion for God's grace, for God's power to shine through in our lives in the brightest way. And that's why Paul says here at the end of verse 10, he says, hey, that's why I can even delight, so I can be thankful for weaknesses and for difficulties. Not because he prefers pain to pleasure, but because even in the difficulties, he's found he can worship God because of the grace and the strength that he provides. And it's for those reasons that Paul, when he had the opportunity to boast about himself, he says, if I'm going to lift up anyone, if I'm going to make anyone's name great, if I'm going to turn the spotlight to anyone, it's going to be to God. And when you consider how this thorn in the flesh, how this became the occasion for God's all-sufficient grace and power to be demonstrated in Paul's life, well, it's no wonder that Paul would say, hey, I'm not going to boast in my strength, but rather in weakness. God's strength, God's grace will get you through. That's what encouraged Paul. That's what allowed him to continue serving the Lord so faithfully for so many years. Hey, but I also wonder if Paul found encouragement in the similarities between his situation and what happened in the final hours of Jesus' life. Because just as Paul prayed 3 times for this thorn to be removed, so did Jesus. Remember, Jesus, he prayed 3 times asking for this cup to be removed, if it was God's will, but also saying, but if it's not, then give me the grace, give me the strength that I need to proceed. And just like with Paul, Jesus' prayer wasn't answered maybe the way that he had hoped for either. But just like with Paul, we see that Jesus had the grace, had this strength to move ahead, to endure the beatings, the mockings, all that he went through, including the crucifixion to pay the debt for our sins. And it was on the cross where Jesus was able to accomplish something which could never happen any other way. The book of 1 Peter, it says, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And so if God can take something as horrendous as the cross and bring good out of it, if he can take Paul's weaknesses and difficulties, all these things related to this thorn in his flesh, and if God can bring good out of it, well, then rest assured he can bring good out of your situation as well. Trials, difficulties, discouragements, all these things are part of life. But as we've seen over these last few weeks, we mustn't allow these things to consume our lives and our focus. See, the perspective that Paul had is the same perspective that we should have when we encounter different trials. Even if God doesn't answer your prayer the way that you had hoped, even if that thorn doesn't go away, you can rest assured that God is still with you and that God's grace and strength are sufficient to see you through. And as a result, you can be thankful. Thankful for the pain, thankful for the sorrow, even thankful for your weaknesses. Let's pray. God, we are thankful for your words of Scripture. Lord, it can be difficult to get to the point where we truly are thankful for the difficulties that we experience in life. And Lord, I know how difficult that can be. But God, we also know that your grace, your strength, that your love, your mercy is sufficient to get us to that point, to sustain us in the midst of the battle, and to carry us on to victory. So Lord, I pray that you help us to lay down our pride, to lay down our selfishness, to lay down whatever might be keeping us from acknowledging our weaknesses and from turning to you. God, we know that each of us have struggles, each of us have difficulties, each of us have thorns, even today, that we are battling. And so Lord, help us to lay down our weapons, to turn to you, to recognize that the battle is yours, that the battle is already won. And that, Lord, even if you don't remove the thorn, that you've given us the grace and the strength, that you've equipped us to continue in the battle until the day we're with you in glory. So, Lord, I pray that you help us. Lord, as there's so many difficulties, there's so many problems in the world, so many issues that each of us are dealing with even today, Lord, help us to be grateful, to be thankful, even for the difficulties, even for the weakness, even for the sorrow in our lives, knowing that you're accomplishing something far greater than what we can see, what we can imagine, and that, God, you are working all things for our good. We love you. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.